express myself. But when you get in a place and a time when you want to express yourself to God, sometimes it just flows. And it's a night tonight, you're just going to get to listen in on my thoughts to me, what I need to do.
Jesus.
And I ask myself, what are you doing with the Holy Ghost that God has given you? God intended us to use the power of the dynamite he has given us, not to hide it, and you can sit down, thank you, but to allow the Spirit to flow through us. Sometimes we're better at that than other times. Sometimes we grieve the Spirit. Sometimes we don't always feel the Spirit of God flowing through us. But he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. The Bible says God is love. And sometimes I can feel the love of people flowing through them to me. You know what I'm talking about? You just sense that they really care about me. And you can feel it. And I believe a lot of times if it's a Christian person, it'll be God's love flowing through them. God gives us the Holy Ghost to fill believers a new mindset, a new perspective, and how our lives should be lived. New convictions, new standards of living, like holiness, righteousness, godliness, sanctified, to be a sanctified life, to come out of an ungodly world and all its sinful mess. That was me 38 years ago, a mess. Thank God he called me out of it. Holy Ghost prayer life is praying in the Spirit. And we don't always do that. Sometimes we're praying in the flesh, Lord, don't let me kill him. I get mad sometimes that I've gotten mad in situations, and I said, Lord, let me just hit him once, then I'll repent and ask for forgiveness. You know, you ever been there? So it's not always easy to pray in the Spirit. You know, sometimes we feel God's presence more when we can speak in tongues and pray and worship, and it just flows, and you just feel that intimacy with God, and it's a beautiful experience. Amen? I had to ask myself, does the Holy Ghost have me? Or I just hold on to the Holy Ghost until I leave this world by the way of the rapture of the grave. Sometimes, like I've said before in the past, I'm probably my worst critic because I try to be hard on myself, to challenge myself, to do better, and I don't always succeed. But Brother Calthorpe said in Aurora many years ago, you don't aim at anything, you don't hit anything. So I had to set goals for myself, and I don't always attain them. But my goal is to make the rapture one day or make heaven my home. You know, the thought occurred to me one day when I was thinking about some things, and there's mountains in the way of our progress. And I think about mountains. I love the mountains. I think they're one of the most beautiful things that God has ever created, the majestic mountains of Colorado or somewhere. And I thought to myself about mining and miners, and how they used to get amazing roads cut through a mountain that you would never, ever, I would never want to be on because some of them are pretty scary. But they make a way that you can get through a mountain, or over a mountain, or through a mountain, through a tunnel or a pass, only by dynamite and very large equipment. And I thought about the power and the way, it's way beyond the human strength to get the job done. They see the mountain or the stone or the hindrance. It's in their way, and they would calculate where exactly to place the explosives so it would get the job done, but not destroy and damage everything around it. And I thought about the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we can use God's word, and the Bible says it's swifter and sharper than a two-edged sword, and we can wield God's word around and just hurt people, chop them to pieces if we're not careful. It's powerful, and how we use it is powerful. They'd place it and attach the fuse to the dynamite and string it away from into a safe place, and then they'd push that plunger on the device that would create a spark or a current to the dynamite, and then it would explode, leaving the passageway through, or through, possibly through the mountain, to get to the gold or the silver. And I thought about, God's given us a spirit. Acts 1 and 8 says, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses to me in Samaria, Judea. He said, even to the uttermost parts of the world. And I thought about, what's God's Holy Ghost moving for us? You know, there's barriers, there's things in our lives that would hinder us from being the witness that God would want us to be, and would hinder me from stepping out in faith and witnessing more and praying more and teaching more Bible studies or whatever. What are the obstacles that God wants to move out of my life? And I've thought about, you know, we have the power. It's not dynamite, you know. You would never take dynamite and just leave it in a wooden box in a corner, never to be used. God expects us to use what he has given us. He didn't give me the Holy Ghost, or you the Holy Ghost, just to let it collect dust in the back of our soul and our mind and our heart, never to be initiated, never to be used, never to be implemented in a lost world that needs a Holy Ghost-filled believer to be a witness to them and to reach out to them and to love them, in spite of some people are not too lovable. God never intended for us to be a Sunday school teacher, just to not bring kids to church, just to be a teacher. And man, if they show up, they show up. If not, no, he said, go get them. He said, compel them. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and to reach out to them. I appreciate Sister Rose and the work she's doing in the Sunday school staff, at reaching and loving kids and everybody that brings kids. And I'd like to see more kids coming. You know, we're not just a Sunday church. Sometimes I've been a Sunday person when I'm not proud of that. But we're supposed to be a 24-hour-a-day, daily church. The Holy Ghost was not, it was given to enable us for many reasons, to get us to move past barriers of doubt and lack of confidence. Your mindsets should be changed to be overcomers by God's Spirit. Anything holding us back from the accomplishments that God's wills for his kingdom to be fulfilled in and through us. Jesus said, be filled. You know, I thought about my car, my truck, my Tahoe. When I fill my Chevy Tahoe, I don't just buy the gas to let just say, oh yeah, I got a full tank, but I never planned on ever using it, any of it. I just want people to know I got a full tank of gas. That would be silly, wouldn't it? That would be so silly for God to give you something and trust it to you, a gift, and never use it. Just to say I have it, but never plan on using it. Gasoline only works if you put the key in the ignition and start the vehicle and move it. God's Holy Ghost only works in our lives only if we hand him the keys to our life and surrender. That's the hardest thing for, I think, a lot of people in the world coming to God, and even as a Christian, to live a surrendered life unto the Lord. And say, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, pastor's been preaching and teaching a lot about the basics of our prayer life. You know, every evening, my boss texts me when I'm working and gives me directions for my next mission, or asks him or my other boss in the morning, what's today's destination? And I get my assignment. And the jobs, I have a supervisor, so that assignment is given in order to accomplish some things during the course of a day. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, and I thought about, he's given us direction, he's given us the power, he's given us the assignment. And what are we going to do with it? And then I started thinking about, I hope I realize there's a battle for my mind. You ever realize that? There is a battle for your mind. Somebody, would you find 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, please? Anybody? First one, grab it, find it. Second Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Thank you. You know, it's a deadly battle for your and my minds and our hearts and our souls. I have to remind myself, we may try to avoid or run from it, but nevertheless, a war is raging every day in the battlefront of our minds and our hearts and our souls in this world. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. He would love nothing less than you to be careless about your walk with him. There's a definite warfare against the thought life and the thought process. Ephesians tells us there's a battle, and the battleground is your mind and your heart and your soul. Our mind is the battleground. Satan wants to destroy and remove all the knowledge of God, or strip us of all our armor that God has given us. From our mind and our heart and our soul, he would and will destroy. He wants to destroy our testimony, our experience of God's grace and his saving power. If we allow him to, he would love to do nothing but kill us, destroy us, put us out of commission, make us of no effect. He wants to make Christians, Holy Ghost-filled Christians, even Holy Ghost Pentecostal Christians, of no effect in a lost world. He wants to negate you, take you out. The Bible says he's a roaring lion. He doesn't just roar, he wants to devour. Satan desires to corrupt our minds. He wants to destroy the church that he wants to be. I mean, God wants to be pure and holy. This battle over our purity is a war we have to maintain. Our purity. I told a girl I worked with some time ago that to stay pure, you know, this world wants to make our young people impure. He wants to take their purity away from them. He wants to rob them of things that God wants them to hold dear to. Our Lord is preparing a bride for himself one day, and the enemy does not want you to be a part of the wedding day with the Lord and our Savior. We must every day guard our mind and our thought life. Genesis gives us scripture to remind us how God destroyed an entire generation because their minds and their imaginations were evil and wicked continually, didn't he? This world in which we live has made it very, very easy and accessible for mankind to be corrupted. That's a scary thought. He's just made it too easy for us. But we know better. The internet, our smartphones, our TV, magazines, everywhere, it's in our face, isn't it? We cannot allow our minds to be partaking of it. Electronic visions, devices. The world promotes vile, sensual, violent content all over the place. Even going to Walmart on the end caps and you see junk. You can't get away from it even at Walmart. You know, God hates it, and one day he's going to judge it in the courtroom of heaven. Our day to give an account how we lived and how we shunned it or we partook of it. provocative entertainment has become, oh, it's just normal. It's our culture, it's our society, has become obsessed with sex and violence in every way possible. I hate to be so, I'm not trying to be a downer, but I want to make you aware, don't be careless. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. Little things that you allow to creep into your mind can allow your mind to go astray. By entertainment, even kids' games at very early ages are very violent. God's always trying to lead us away from that junk, and Satan's trying to entice us. At the end of every evening, my wife and I have a little routine I thought about. It's almost the same thing. We have a fire and a wood burner. We enjoy the evening. We relax. And we turn down the heat. We kiss the cat and each other goodnight. We turn out the lights and we lock the door. And we go to bed. So when we lay our heads down at the end of the night to rest, our home is safe, secure, because we can't just allow anything or person to enter into our home. Hopefully our home is secure. Simply saying, we must guard our minds in Jesus' name. That's a sober thought. Guard your mind. The Bible says the entrance, what we allow entrance into our mind and our hearts. Our God-given Holy Ghost is more valuable than any carnal mind or knowledge of what an ungodly world tries to tell you is so valuable. It's a big fat lie. I'd like to read Jude 20, verse 21. Boy, you're quiet. You're scaring me. I'm either too serious or you're really thinking. Jude, verse 20 and 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. Almost done. I'll get you out of here. What time is it? I can't see. 7:30? Oh, man. I guess I got to give you the other 10 pages. Don't fall asleep. I think I've used this before, but like I said, this is for Al. This is for me. I have to remind myself sometimes because the devil will lie to me and tell me, you're not worth it. Why bother? And then I have to remind myself who I want to serve and who I really want to please. Who do I want to please? He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's unparalleled. He's King of heaven. He's King of glory. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King, sovereign King. No means of measure can define him. And he's limitless. He's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperial powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. And he walked on earth. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only qualified one to be Savior. He supplies us strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he heals and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinner. He delivers the captives, he defends the feeble, he blesses the young, he serves the fortunate. He regards the aged. Thank you. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He's the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway to deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway to righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's invincible. He's irresistible. And you can't get him out of your mind, hopefully. You can't get him off your hand. You can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't get rid of him. They couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. And our prayer lives are our access. He's as close as the mention of his name. Don't ever disvalue your prayer life. Job said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Don't let us forget where our life comes from. We invest our time daily in many activities because our lives have so many responsibilities and demands on a day-to-day basis. Invest our time in prayer because your life depends on it. God bless. Sister Davis.
Let's all stand and sing a couple of choruses here.
If you can use